And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, written by Seymour Wright, is entitled A Banquet for the General and is based on an idea in Wisdom of the Talmud by Dr. Ben Zion Boxer, published by the Philosophical Library.
Antigonus will attack frontally. Seleucus will cross the river at this point and fall upon their flank. Demetrius.
Sir.
Station your troops here near the embankment to serve as reinforcements. I want you to be located centrally so I can deploy your men wherever the battle requires. We will attack.
And it came to pass in an ancient land, there rose a mighty general, and the legions he commanded were strong and many numbered. He led them to conquest in distant places, to Persia, to Asia, to India. And the stories and legends woven into his brief moment of history were as numerous as the campfires of his victorious armies.
Alexander of Macedon? Yes, I knew him well, my friend. As well as I know my own sword arm. And many is the story, I can tell you. Why, I marched with Alexander from the very beginning, and I remember it all. The uprisings in Thrace and Illyria. The sack of Thebes. There was an ugly business. Alexander spared nothing but the temples and the house of the poet Pindar. Afterwards, we crossed the Hellespont and marched against Persia. We met them at the river Granicus. And to this day, I swear, it still flows with Persian blood. Next, we took Sardis, Miletus, Halicarnassus, then the cities of Syria. After that, Mesopotamia, Babylon, Afghanistan. I tell you, there was no army anywhere that could stand against Alexander. He was called by many Alexander the Great. And in Egypt, he was hailed as a divinity, the living son of the god, Amun-Ra. What sort of man was he? 10 men, my friend. 20, 100. In battle, a genius. Skillful, daring, invincible. At times, a man of anger, given to fits of violent temper. Why, I recall a night, after much feasting and revelry, when Alexander, in a fit of rage, drew his sword and slew his own dearest comrade. And withal, a man of philosophy. Now, don't smile. In Alexander's youth, the great and learned Aristotle served as his teacher, and all his life, he was much given to argument and disputation. In fact, now that we speak of it, I even recall a time when Alexander was defeated. Not on the field of battle, no, never there. This was a special kind of combat, a battle of ideas, a contest in which Alexander of Macedon, the greatest general in the world, was vanquished by an old man with a white beard. It was during the Persian campaigns. At the time, we were journeying in the land of Judea, surveying our newly won territories, and we came to a city called Jerusalem.
Katya! Katya!
What is it, Elisha?
An army approaching the city. Thousands of soldiers with horses, chariots.
So we're to be honored with a visit from the great Alexander of Macedon.
Katia, it is said that he is a fierce and vengeful man. What shall we do?
Whatever must be done, Elisha. Come, be at peace. Let us put our trust in the Lord.
When we reached the gates of the city, Alexander and a group of his officers, including myself, were escorted to a building near a great temple. We went inside and came to a large chamber with a sort of dais at one end. An old man was seated there, and as we entered, he rose to greet us.
Shalom, my friends.
In whose name do you speak, old man?
I speak for my people. I am Katia, patriarch of Judea.
And I am Alexander, king of Macedon, emperor of Persia, conqueror of Syria, commander of the most powerful armies on the face of the earth.
I welcome you to our city.
You show no fear of me.
Is Alexander of Macedon good or evil?
Well, good, of course.
Would you have me fear that which is good?
You're something of a philosopher, Patriarch. I think I may enjoy my visit.
I hope it will not prove unpleasant.
Tell me, Patriarch, those two coarse-looking men there near the door, what are they doing here?
They're farmers, General. They came here with a private dispute, question of law, which they want me to settle. All our citizens are welcome to do this.
A question of law? Well, go ahead.
Now? But surely you don't expect...
Go ahead, Patriarch. I've heard a great deal about your Hebrew theories of law. I'd like to see how they really work.
Very well. Abram. Yaakov.
A chair was brought. Alexander sat down next to the old man, and the two farmers came forward to argue their case.
Patriarch, all I demand is justice.
You speak of justice? If you took the time to study the Mishnah, you'd learn what justice is.
My dear Yaakov, I know more about the Mishnah than you could learn if you lived to be 100 years old. 100.
My dear Avram, you're a fool.
How dare you speak to me like that?
You, your opinion is worthless.
I didn't come here to be insulted.
Gentlemen, please. Each in his turn. Now then, Avram.
Patriarch, as you know, some time ago I bought a field from Yaakov. A fine tract of land. Good black earth. Rich and fruitful, near the west gate, past the old road. I paid 20 denarii for it. A fair price. At least you agree with that, Yaakov.
Yes, the price was fair.
Go on, Avram.
Well, the other day, while I was plowing, my blade hit something in the ground, something hard. At first I thought it was, you know, a rock or a piece of wood. But when I bent down and scraped away the earth, this is what I found. A leather bag filled with gold coins. A fortune.
Patriarch, it's a simple matter. Avram found the treasure, I grant. But
Yaakov, please permit him to finish.
Thank you, Patriarch. As I was saying, I found this bag of gold while plowing my field. I admit, the field was purchased from Yaakov for a fair price. But the price I paid did not include any treasure that might be found in it. Therefore, I claim that the gold is not rightfully or lawfully mine.
Avram, from a legal point of view, your position is ridiculous. When I sold you the field, I sold everything it might contain. The Mishnah states quite clearly, if a man sells a ship, he has sold also the mast, the sail, the anchor, and all means of steering it.
The Mishnah also says, if a man sells the mules, he has not sold the wagon. If he sells the yoke, he has not sold the oxen.
My dear Avram, how can you be so stubborn? According to law, the gold is yours.
My dear Yaakov, your interpretation is all wrong. Now, according to my understanding...
Gentlemen, please, may I say something?
Of course, Patriarch. Our knowledge is limited. That's why we're here. Maybe you can convince him.
Avram, if I understand correctly, you found the gold coins in your field. But you think they should go to Yaakov?
Exactly. I paid for land, not treasure.
And you, Yaakov, You feel the gold belongs to Avram?
Yes, Patriarch. Admittedly, you know much more of these things than either Avram or myself. But if I recall correctly, the section of law dealing with the transfer of property states...
Since
that...
when are you in authority? You farmer!
You're just angry because I'm winning my case.
I deny that.
Oh, it's a matter of law.
Let the Patriarch decide. Don't shout at me.
Gentlemen, please. This isn't a simple decision. You know, laws are like people. When you begin to probe beneath the surface, they get more and more complicated. There's much to be said on both sides, but... Avram, I believe you have a comely daughter of marriageable age?
Yes, Patriarch.
And you, Yakov? You have a grown son?
Mm-hmm. A fine boy and a good farmer.
Very well, then. Here is my decision. Let the two be pledged in marriage, and this bag of gold coins will be given to them as their dowry.
Their dowry? A brilliant solution.
Worthy of the prophets.
Come, Yakov. We have a great deal to do.
Oh, yes, Avram. Thank you. Thank you, Patriarch.
Thank you. What a wonderful decision.
Father, let us go home and tell our wives.
Why do you laugh, General?
Because this is the strangest trial I have ever seen.
Did I do wrong? Would you have judged it differently?
Much differently. I would have kept the treasure for myself and thrown both of those rascals into the street.
Would that have satisfied your sense of justice?
No. My sense of gain. Tell me, Patriarch, don't your people value gold at all?
Yes, but they treasure the law even more. The law is our strength. The Torah, the Talmud, these are the mortar that binds us together.
Your people are naive, Patriarch. Gold is the mortar that binds people together. Their hunger for it is the loom on which the very fabric of society is woven. Nothing else matters.
You really believe this?
Of course I do. It's a simple question of one sense of values.
One sense of values? Yes.
Patriarch, I hear that you Jews consider yourselves the chosen people of God. Is this true?
Chosen for a mission, Alexander. To bring the word of the Lord to all people.
Be that as it may, if this is true, if you're really the chosen ones of this almighty God, why is it that your people have been crushed and persecuted by their enemies generation after generation?
Do you call your sword persecuted because it was fired in the blacksmith's furnace? And hammered into form on his anvil?
A most interesting rationalization. Tell me, Katya, I'm really quite curious about some of your Hebraic concepts and rituals. Perhaps you can explain something of their origin and history. I'd like to understand the basics.
Well, that's how it started. Alexander was impressed with the old man, and obviously... interested in his ideas. Our troops were ordered to encamp directly outside the gates and given the free movement of the city of Jerusalem, while Alexander and this patriarch spent all their time arguing and discoursing of learned things. Me, I'm just a plain soldier. Discussions of that nature bore me. I had a feeling, besides, that it would come to a bad end, and 2 days later, I proved to be right.
Your hands off me! Let me go, I say!
What's the meaning of this? Who is the soldier?
We arrested him in the marketplace, Patriarch.
You'll pay for this insult!
He tried to steal a copper jug from old Sedek, and when Sedek protested, he started to beat him.
I am a soldier in the army of Alexander of Macedon. I don't have to answer to any of you.
Patriarch, if we hadn't arrived in time, Sedek would have been killed.
This is serious. We must speak with Sedek and learn exactly what happened. Meanwhile, take him away. Lock him up.
Let go of me! Let go, you hear? Let go!
At the time, Alexander was sojourning in his tent. When he learned what happened, his face grew livid with rage, his eyes flinty with anger. It was the old Alexander again, the Alexander of Bat. He sent for the patriarch and had him brought immediately to the camp.
Do you mean by seizing one of my soldiers?
General, according to the evidence, he tried to steal a copper jug. And then he started to beat a helpless old man. We merely stopped him from breaking our law.
Law? You sound like those stupid farmers of yours. Alexander of Macedon is the law here. My word is the only word. I am your law. Do you understand? Well, answer me. Answer me!
It is written in our scriptures, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. But he that is proud and arrogant renders the land unclean and causes the withdrawal of God's presence. Again, as it is written, he that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord.
You think me proud and arrogant? And what of your arrogance arresting a soldier of my army?
My dear Alexander, I intended to discuss this with you as soon as possible. We merely wanted to be
sure... Let me remind you that I am your king. The conqueror of your conquerors. Yes, yes, it was pleasurable to discourse with you of philosophic matters. But you begin to try my patience.
This matter of the soldier, it can be easily settled, Alexander.
Patriarch, I have been far too lenient with you. In other cities, when I appear, I am greeted with pomp, panoply, great feasts. The kind of deference due my position. But here I meet insults.
General, I assure you
Hear
that...
me, Patriarch. I have my duties. Administrative matters to attend to in my new territories, and I must journey on. But within 10 days, I will return to Jerusalem. At that time, I expect your people to welcome me with all the honors befitting my rank. Honors for a new ruler. Yes, I think it may teach you a new set of values, Katia. We can begin with a great banquet. I'm quite fond of banquets, you know. Very lavish and opulent ones.
But General...
You're to spare no efforts, do you understand? I will have the acclaim due me. If you fail to meet my expectations, it will go hard with you and your people, Patriarch. Very hard.
Katya, what are we going to do?
I don't know, Elisha. I don't know.
Well, how can we prepare the kind of feast he expects? We're not accustomed to such things. What if he is dissatisfied?
This banquet of his, it's just a symbol.
But, Patriarch, do you remember what happened to Thebes and Gaza? Why, if we offend him with a mere wave of his hand, Alexander can reduce all of Jerusalem to ashes.
Yes. He's a man of violence and destruction, but also a man of thought. And this is our key.
I don't understand.
I cannot oppose him with force. And knowing the temper of the man, we cannot afford to displease him on his return. But if we could appeal to his imagination...
My dear Katya, this is no time for philosophy.
Elisha, go forth into the city. Explain this problem to our people. Collect all the gold you can find. Coins, goblets, everything.
Collect the gold? But...
Then summon Aftali, the goldsmith, to meet with me here tomorrow. With God's help, we may yet beard this lion.
Patriarch, I know you're a learned man, a man of great wisdom, but why do you want...
Hurry, Elisha. We only have 10 days, and there's a city to be saved.
Katya is collecting all the gold. I don't understand.
Neither do I, but my wife gave her wedding ring.
They say that Alexander is very angry, that he will order Jerusalem destroyed. Why would Katya call for Naphtali the goldsmith? It doesn't make sense.
If that's what the patriarch wants, it doesn't have to make sense.
The days passed, busy days too, my friend. And on the 10th, Alexander and our legions returned to Jerusalem. We were met and escorted to the Patriarch's chamber. Alexander's mood hadn't changed. His brow was still black, and his eyes flashed with anger. When we entered the chamber, we found a great table prepared for our banquet.
Patriarch, I trust you've arranged a feast to tempt the palate of an emperor.
We've prepared a feast which I believe is superior to any you have ever tasted before.
Well, good. That's as it should be. Demetrius, Seleucus, come, let's be seated.
We made ourselves comfortable at the long table, and at a signal from the old man, servants entered, bearing great covered trays. These were placed in front of Alexander. Then, at the Patriarch's command, the covers were lifted. I looked at the trays and could scarce believe my eyes. They were piled high with delicacies, all fashioned of solid gold.
I don't understand. What is this?
Patriarch! Is this some kind of monstrous joke?
Certainly not, Alexander.
Golden fish, poultry, pheasants. You expect me to eat these things?
General, it was my understanding that you valued gold more than anything else in life. I thought surely you must eat it, too. Else why would you prize it so highly?
Katya, what absurdity is this? You know quite
Can
well...
Can it be that Alexander of Macedon, the mighty conqueror, is dependent, just as other mortals, on the seeds of the soil and the small animals of the field? What a disappointment. We were sure that the great king of Macedon would let nothing cross his imperial palate but the purest of golden food. I cannot believe otherwise.
Alexander leaped to his feet, his face contorted with rage. He grasped the hilt of his sword, and I thought surely that the old man's life was forfeit. But then, a strange thing happened. Alexander began to laugh. While the rest of us looked on in amazement, he walked over to the old man and threw his arms around him.
Congratulations, Patriarch. This is truly the most elaborate banquet I've ever been served. You've done nobly.
My dear Alexander, to be frank, I was hoping that the philosopher in you would outweigh the general.
Katya, I am duly chastised.
From then on, my friend, you may not believe it, but Alexander became a close friend of the people of Judea, their defender and champion. And when he built the great city of Alexandria, he invited them to settle there, to live in freedom and equality, all who chose to do so. Of course, I'm just a soldier. Blood and death are my calling. I don't understand these things, but sometimes I wonder. That old man with the white beard, the two farmers, the strange banquet of gold. I don't know. Do you suppose, my friend, that Alexander of Macedon, who was believed by many to be immortal, do you suppose that somehow he sensed in this nation, in these people, a true immortality?
And it came to pass in an ancient land, there rose a mighty general, and the stories and legends woven into his brief moment of history were as numerous as the campfires of his victorious armies. But the strangest tale of all concerned a battle in which Alexander of Macedon was vanquished by an old man with a white beard. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Manuel G. Sidney of New York City, a prominent civic and community leader and president of the Metropolitan Council of the United Synagogue of America. Mr. Sidney.
It is very easy to say that the significance of today's script lies in its dramatization of the fact that the most important things in life are those which we take for granted, the things which are available to everybody, like health and the joys of friendship. But it becomes necessary in the course of our lives to pause and recognize that in our daily strivings for the things which are much less important, too many of us often deny ourselves the genuine blessings of life. In fact, he who possesses the true art of living is the person who knows how to realize and take advantage of the experiences in life which help to enrich the individual and society culturally, socially, and spiritually. Perhaps one of the difficulties which confronts us as Americans in particular is that we take our freedom for granted and overlook the opportunities which it affords. For the liberty which we Americans possess is a unique blessing which too many of us accept in the same light as the air we breathe. But an endowment like freedom, just as health or friendship, to have any significance carries with it some kind of responsibility. To maintain our health, we must take proper care of our bodies. To keep our friendships, we must be considerate and understanding. And to uphold and extend our freedom, we must participate actively in the affairs of government to the best of our ability. For if, in pursuing our material goals, we lose sight of those more intangible and yet infinitely more precious ones, they may be irretrievably lost. In a sense, we Americans have many more opportunities for knowledge and much more power than even the great Alexander. But what Alexander had to learn from the patriarch, we must also learn. However, the means to such knowledge exist in much greater measure now than they did in his time. If we have the wisdom to seek and understand what great potentialities exist to be developed, we can be as a nation of individual kings, enjoying the full blessings which this great nation offers and which we can enjoy for rich and happy lives.
Thank you, Mr. Sidney. Our eternal I drama today, A Banquet for the General, was written by Seymour Wright and was based on an idea in Wisdom of the Talmud by Dr. Ben Sion Boxer, published by the Philosophical Library. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Leon Jenny, Roger DeCoven, Louis Sorin, Santos Ortega, Saul Serlin, Guy Repp, Alan Bergman, Robert Hastings, Walter Black, and Norman Rose. This is Mel Brandt. Our director was Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.